This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
All righty, hour number 2 of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I think one of the oldest debates I've ever had in my radio career was centered around Pete Rose. And unfortunately, Pete Rose passed away yesterday at the age of 83. We know he is the Hit King. I think it is embarrassing that while he was alive, he was never inducted into Cooperstown, into the Baseball Hall of Fame. But whenever you have someone with a controversial past, whether it was steroids or whether it was betting on baseball, which got him banned from being a part of baseball, it's like one of those things where it elicits such a polarizing 50-50 response. And it's kind of weird when you have Pete Rose, who passed away, and it's like the first thing that you think of when Pete Rose passes away, all right, are they finally going to put him in the Hall of Fame now? Because I thought this for years, that I never believed, even though he should be in, that while he was living, Pete Rose would be elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And whether you like Pete or not, and clearly there have been some things that Pete Rose has been accused of, and Pete Rose eventually admitted to doing, and some things that he hasn't, that the allegations or the things that, and the way that Pete conducted himself away from a baseball field, you could say are disgraceful, obviously. So when I look at, though, the history of baseball, and I say this all the time, whether it's steroids or whether it's Pete Rose, and it's two totally different conversations, because if Pete was betting against his team, it's a different story. But for what most of us know, and there's all different stories, Pete was betting on his team. Now, not right. You can't do it. But especially the last few years, when all these leagues are in bed with all these gambling companies and they're making money, it was like, yes, what Pete did was wrong. He broke the rules. But we're taking now money from gambling companies, but Pete can't get in the Hall of Fame. And I always thought there was a hypocrisy with Pete Rose. Whenever there was an opportunity to put him outside the Hall of Fame, or whenever there was an opportunity, you know, later on in his life to honor him and have like a Pete Rose Day, you know, all these teams, they did it. Whether it was the Phillies, I know they had to cancel when he was supposed to go into the Wall of Fame because of allegations, serious allegations going back years and years, 50 years ago, with relations with someone that may have been a minor. You know, I remember covering the story at the time, and it was the age of consent and how old the lady was when she was, or the young woman was when she was in Ohio, and there was a lot to that story. But whenever these teams had opportunities, like he eventually did go back to Philadelphia, part of the 1980 Phillies, and honoring them, you know, whenever there's moments that he'd go back in Cincinnati, okay, you honor them. Years ago at the All-Star game, you honored Pete, right? So it was like, oh, when there was a way for the Phillies or when there was a way for the Reds or Major League Baseball to trot Pete out there, they did it because it made them more money. And that was something that never sat well with me, whether you like Pete Rose or not, is that the league and the teams would market him, even though they distance him, away from him forever. But later on, they would use him for situations, but you couldn't put him in the Hall of Fame. And say what you want, whether you love Pete Rose or you didn't. And there's many conversations that you could have about Pete Rose. But from a competitive standpoint, I don't know if anyone ever played the game of baseball harder than he did. I just don't. If it's not him, it's a short list of people that played the game tougher than he did. And also, he has the most hits in the history of the sport. So whether you agree with what Peter did or not, hey, he broke a rule, shouldn't have done it. But he still did something, and I know that was going on when he was a manager, but he still did something as a player that is not only just great, it's all-time greatness. Number one in hits. And even if you don't like Pete, which I understand, or if what you did or what he did, if you thought he was wrong, if you thought it was wrong, which it was, still, how do you exclude the guy with the most hits in Major League Baseball out of the Hall of Fame? Just doesn't make sense to me. And also, it's like the same thing with the steroid guys. Barry Bonds cheated. Roger Clemens cheated. Sammy Sosa cheated. But those guys still put up great numbers in Major League Baseball. Now, you could look at those numbers, and you could look at them sideways, and you could understand those numbers with context. But I always thought the role of the Hall of Fame was to tell the history of the game. And I've been to Cooperstown, I want to say at least 4 or 5 times. Because I went when I was a camper at a sleepaway camp on a trip that we went to. And then when I was a staff member and eventually running the 7th and 8th grade boys at the sleepaway camp when I was their division leader, we did a trip to Lake George. You went on that mini haha boat, which was unbelievable. Hey, great fried chicken on that boat, too. And then, we eventually made our way to, I think it's Howe's Cavern. There was an amusement park out there, and then also Cooperstown. And it was crazy to me when you would walk in Cooperstown and you could see a photo of Pete Rose, or you could go on the virtual like record books that they have and you would see that he had the most hits of all time. But then when you go into the plaque section, which is like the sacred part of the Hall of Fame, Pete Rose's plaque isn't there. It's just stupid. It's really petulant behavior. And I understand that when you look at the steroid guys, people will say they shouldn't go in, they cheated, they embarrassed the game. You could say that. That's your fair opinion. That's your right. But as someone that's 30 years old, and I think this could be generational, because through the years, people have come around on Pete getting in, but with the steroid guys, they haven't. Like, we had David Ortiz on yesterday. And Big Poppy was talking about the whole behind the scenes of that Monument Park walk that they did on Fox with Big Poppy and Kevin Burkhardt and A-Rod and Derek Jeter. And it was actually A-Rod that told Big Poppy to ask him if he'll ever get a plaque there in Monument Park. And Big Poppy asked, and then A-Rod said, hey, Big Poppy, there's a better chance you're going to get a plaque here than I'm going to get a plaque here. And it's a plaque to honor the all-time great Yankees. And that clip made its round on social media yesterday. And I talked to one, or actually two, baseball writers that are, significantly older than me. And they're like, nah, the Yankees should never honor him. And I said to one of the baseball writers, I go, I think it's just generational. Like, my generation, and I'm 30 years old, guys like Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and I hated Roger Clemens as a Met fan. My least favorite athlete ever, but I could say he's a great player. Sammy Sosa, whoever it may be, Mark McGwire, they still did things that were great. And Bud Selig's in the Hall of Fame. He allowed it. There's managers in the Hall of Fame. They knew what was going on. So it's like guys knew what was going on. Now to just try to say, oh, that error never existed, and then some guys will put in, but some guys we won't, it doesn't really make sense to me. But there is a different conversation here with steroid guys and then Pete Rose. But I do still think it's a similar premise in terms of my objective on who I want in the Hall of Fame is I want all-time great players that did all-time great things. Even if you don't like how they did it, and even if you think how they did it was disgraceful, did they have the numbers or not? And for Pete, I know he gambled on baseball. It's a fact. But he is the all-time hit king. Like, how do you say the all-time hit king is not in the Hall of Fame? And if you say, oh, he bet on baseball, I get it's a rule you can't violate. But still, it doesn't take away from him being one of the greatest baseball players ever. So, with all that being said, I had one opportunity to interview Pete Rose. It was when I was hosting on a small AM station in Princeton and Trenton, in that area. That's where it was marketed to serve, those two cities. And I don't even... The station now is not even a sports station anymore. I just found out, I thought they went off the air and they shut down. And then they sold it, and I don't even think it's an English-speaking station anymore. I was reading about this, I got sent a notice. But on that station, it was 9:20 a.m. New Jersey, it was a Fox Sports affiliate at the time. I was the afternoon host, the program director. I ran the board, edited all these shows that paid to be on the air, and recorded them too. I did a little sales as well, and I was actually a program director of a station called WCHR as well. It's two stations. That was the job. WCHR was a Christian radio station. So there was a Jewish program director by the name of Zach Gelb programming the Christian radio station. I would get like Bibles and stuff sent to me and like Christmas gifts as well. So I always got a kick out of that. But a lot of good people I worked with. But I got a chance to interview Pete Rose back in 2017. You know, I was either 22 or 23 at the time. And I talked to him for 25 minutes. It was an awesome conversation. But the topic of the Hall of Fame came up. And this is, we'll play you like about 3 minutes and 30 seconds of it. And this is my conversation with Pete Rose back in 2017.
Every time the Hall of Fame, it's up for a vote, I always am annoyed that you're not in the Hall of Fame. Do you ever think that you don't? Do you think you'll ever get in?
I don't worry about that. Listen, I made your Reds Hall of Fame last year. I got my number retired. I have a statue coming up in June. I have the Wall of Fame in Philadelphia in August. Everything's cool. I mean, I messed that up, so I'm not going to complain on your show or any other show about the Hall of Fame. I kind of give up on the Hall of Fame. Although every player should want to go to his or her Hall of Fame, that's the ultimate goal. But as far as I'm walking on this earth or breathing on this earth, I don't think I'll make the Hall of Fame. So I've been suspended 27 years, and I hope you don't think that I'm criticizing the Hall of Fame, but I'm kind of over the Hall of Fame, if you know what I mean.
Well, let me just ask you one more question off that, because now you have the steroid guys that are up, and there's been some people that have been surrounded with innuendo with steroids, like Pudge, who you know very well, and he said only God knows if he took steroids. Just since it's such a divisive topic, does it annoy you a little bit that some of the steroid guys could get in and you can't?
No, but I don't know who took steroids. I don't know who did what. I have my own problems. Although I'm going to tell you right now, for anybody listening out there, you probably got a lot of listeners. If I'm voting for the Hall of Fame, Roger Clemens is in the Hall of Fame.
I agree.
If I'm voting for the Hall of Fame, Barry Bonds is in the Hall of Fame. If I'm voting for the Hall of Fame, Palmeiro with 500 home runs and 3,000 hits is in the Hall of Fame. Sammy Sosa hit over 60 home runs 3 times and never led the league. He's in the Hall of Fame. Other guys I'm not sure of, but those guys I just mentioned are truly Hall of Fame players, and I think they were probably Hall of Fame players before they took steroids, if they took steroids. I'm not here to say anybody did this or anybody did that. Roger Clemens till this day says he didn't take steroids. So who the hell am I to sit here and talk to you and call Roger Clemens a liar? I'm not in that position. But you have to understand another thing. These guys I just mentioned are all friends of mine. And I say I'd vote for them. I'll tell you why. Because we're in America, and I believe America... If you're in America, you should be given a second chance. That's the only reason I say I'd vote for those guys, other than they're very talented.
I think they should get all in as well. But Pete, last one off this before we let you run. Some people are saying that put an asterisk on these guys' plaque and maybe put an asterisk on your plaque if you get in. Let's say if they put you in the Hall of Fame and you're alive and around to see it, would you be okay if they put an asterisk on your plaque?
Who cares about asterisks? You're going to put one around Babe Ruth's name? You're going to put one around Ty Cobb? You know, you can't start doing that. I mean, because nobody knows what anybody did. You know, forget about asterisks. That's all you guys in the press trying to create. And I'll tell you one thing. You're a good interviewer because you said, I got one more question five times.
Hey, I learned from Kevin Burkhardt the best. You know, you got to keep on going.
He is the best. Kevin Burkhardt. Hey, Kevin, you forgot to tell your people that our show won an Emmy a couple weeks ago.
Well, congratulations. That must have been awesome to win that Emmy. You probably never thought you'd be winning an Emmy, you know, right?
Not on TV either. Hey, I got a face for radio, man.
Hey, don't we all? Hey, Pete, this was a blast. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, have a good day. See you in August.
So that was my conversation, you know, 3.5 minutes of a 25-minute conversation with Pete Rose back in 2017. And Pete Rose passed away yesterday at the age of 83, and obviously a lot of baseball fans will miss him. We do have some breaking news, which I just want to get.
We have breaking news on the Zach Gelb Show.
See, Manny's on like 10,000 energy drinks. I didn't even get to finish my sentence. I was going to say, I know that's an awkward transition, but we have to get some breaking news in the NFL that I wanted to get to. And before I could even say those things, Manny right away. On the sound effects. All righty, here we go. This has been talked about all throughout the day. We're actually going to have this scheduled as our next segment, so it's kind of fitting. According to Ian Rappaport, Raiders star wide receiver Davante Adams has informed the Raiders that he prefers to be traded. Per Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network, there is nothing imminent, but a situation to watch for sure. We react to that breaking news report. Davante Adams, he wants a trade. We'll get to that next when the Zach Gelb Show does continue. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. The big news right now, according to Ian Rappaport, Raiders star wide receiver Davante Adams has informed the team he's preferred to be traded. That is per Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network. There's nothing imminent, but a situation to watch for sure. Rap Sheet also adds in, the Raiders are trying to win games, and there are plenty of scenarios where Davante Adams stays in Las Vegas, but there are also scenarios where he's headed elsewhere and he'll have a market. Here are the first three teams that I think of for Davante Adams. Because when you look at Davante Adams, I don't think, even though he still has 2 years on his contract after that, so could the Raiders get like a package that's so great, and could he get traded to a spot that is undesirable? Yeah, it's potential. Like, it's a possibility. Like, for example, this is not one of the three teams that I'm going to include on my list that I'll get to in just a second. However, we know New England has been trying to actively get a big wide receiver. They offered Brandon Ayuk well over $30 million a season. So could a team like New England say, hey, we'll overpay for Davante Adams in terms of draft capital? I guess, but New England's going to stink either way. But maybe they want to get Davante Adams in there to go assist Drake May whenever they turn the page to Drake May. But like a team like New England, I don't think Davante Adams wants to go there because Davante Adams is on a crappy team right now. Like, let's just be real. He doesn't have a quarterback. Yeah, you got some other good players there. Like, Max Crosby is an excellent player. Spillane's an excellent player. But they don't really have that much. You know, Bowers looks like a stud. They're not close to winning because you don't have a quarterback right now. So I just take a glance. It's so funny. Like, I have friends that they text me breaking sports news when it happened like 10 minutes ago. And they think like I'm not in the know on this stuff. That's why my phone was just dinging. As my best buddy says, get ready to learn J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 Devontae.
Oh, I thought he just saw Francisco Lindor's ninth inning home run.
That's a good line. Buddy just texted me the breaking news report. So, hey, I'm on the air, folks. I understand. I am alert as what is the going on. We actually knew the breaking news was coming. We had this segment scheduled at 4:20 p.m. Eastern time anyway. That's how good we are on this show. But I think Davante Adams at this stage of his career, where he wants to actually feel like he has a chance to win. And the one thing missing from his resume, on what is a Hall of Fame resume, is Lombardi Trophy. And you're not even close with the Raiders right now to making the playoffs, let alone winning a Lombardi Trophy. So there are three destinations with this report from Ian Rappaport in regards to Davante Adams prefers to get traded from the Raiders. And the three teams that I think of, number one, the New York Jets. You got Aaron Rodgers there. Now, I don't think the Jets are winning a Super Bowl with or without Davante Adams, but they improve their chances with Davante Adams. And the most important thing, he has the connection. He has the synergy with Aaron Rodgers. Like, Garrett Wilson is a stud wide receiver. He's been awesome the last 2 years with no quarterback, but he doesn't have the timing and he doesn't have the trust right now with Aaron Rodgers. So you take a glance, the Jets are the obvious one. Rodgers has flirted about the idea of bringing back Davante Adams. So that is definitely a possibility. The other two teams, I think if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I'm saying to Davante Adams, who says you can't go home? Especially with Christian Watson now having that high ankle sprain. But either way, you don't have a true bona fide number one wide receiver in Green Bay. I would go make a move and see if you could do like a trade back scenario with the Packers and the Raiders. Now, with that being said, I've been in these conversations before about Davante Adams. And we go back to August. I had a Packers fullback, former fullback, now still part of the organization, does their games, in John Kuhn on. And I asked him, can you see a scenario, whether it's this year or next year, where the Packers tell the Raiders, hey, we know Davante Adams is disgruntled. We got a team that's on the come up right now. We just made the second round of the playoffs last year. Do you think there's a way we can get a trade done if Davante wants to leave? And John Kuhn said, yeah, Davante Adams has to have some regret about not staying in Green Bay. But he made it clear, John Kuhn did, that Brian Gutekunst won't try to trade back for Davante Adams down the road. Now, it's one thing to say, and I'm looking at the clip right now, on August 13th, 2024, when John joined the Zach Gelb Show. But can the Packers say that again now that it is out there in the universe that Davante Adams wants to trade? And here is the final team. And let me tell you, if this team lands Davante Adams, you could just give him the Super Bowl. Because you know that TikTok song that's like, oh no, oh no, oh no, 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 no. If the Kansas City Chiefs somehow find a way to pull off a deal for Davante Adams, just give him the Lombardi Trophy. Now, you may say, hey, but Zach, there's no way the Raiders are going to trade Davante Adams to the Chiefs in division. Like, Zach, what are you, an idiot, a moron, a dope? Yeah, you could say that. That's fine. Well, the price is tax. It's tax for the Chiefs. You got to pay whatever the other teams would pay and then some. So, if I'm a Chiefs fan, or if I'm their general manager of each, do I call up the Raiders and go, hey, we got a first-round pick? You want a first-round pick for a wide receiver in his 30s in Davante Adams? We'll give you a first-round pick. Raiders, you need help. You need maybe some ammunition because you're bad, but you're not the worst team in the league. So there's a chance you're like picking at 6 or 7 in the draft and you would need another first-round pick to move up the draft board. We'll give you that first-round pick, which could be the 32nd overall pick in the draft, and some draft nerd will tell me, oh, that's, I'd rather have a second-round pick than a first-round pick, as you always get that from some people. But that's what I would do if I'm Veach. And imagine Mahomes with Kelsey and Taylor Swift watching, having Davante Adams on that team. Oh, geez. That would be a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. So those are the three teams that I first thought of for Davante Adams. All righty, Marco Belletti just walked in. Marco Belletti is a man that has to wear many hats around here. He is, I would say you're better than this player was, so don't take this disrespectfully, but I'm in a baseball mood today. You're like our Joe McEwing around here. You wear so many different hats, and they have you do so many different things, but you were just better than the way that Joe played the position. So that kind of seems like a slap in the face. I didn't mean it that way.
Utility guy? I got it.
You get the analogy where you've done a lot of things here.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that you're not always able to listen to the show, and you have you do 9,000 other jobs behind the scenes. Davante Adams, as I'm sure you know, because you are a plugged-in update anchor here at the Infinity Sports Network, and you also work down the hall at WFAN, and they're Jet Country right now.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the Mets and the Yankees, Davante Adams prefers to get traded now.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at this possibility of a deal going down, who are the first three teams that you think of where Davante Adams could land?
I don't even think it's that many.
You think I'd be
stunned on a Jet.
So you think,
and I've been saying 100%. That for 3 months.
Yeah.
I actually said that, you mentioned WFAN, one of the shows that I was hosting over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait for it. It's going to happen. He'll be a Jet at some point, probably before Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And I always thought, because, and here's the thing that I did not calculate into this. I always said, I think Davante Adams, out of respect to Antonio Pierce, is going to give Pierce this year, because that's the only reason he's still on the Raiders, because he liked what Pierce did when he was the interim, and he had respect for what he did when he was the interim coach. Now he's a full-time head coach.
Yeah.
If they hired anyone but Antonio Pierce, I think he would have been out of town. However, this Antonio Pierce thing the other day on social media, where he's liking a post, the coach of the Raiders, about Davante Adams maybe playing his last game and getting traded,
mm-hmm.
that ruins, and maybe it already got ruined before, but that puts a major, major, major thing in between a relationship between Antonio Pierce and Davante Adams. And I think Davante Adams is kind of looking at this now. Hey, I know I wasn't going to finish out this contract, even though I said it 9,000 times I will, but I was willing to give you guys a chance. And now the coach, who was the guy that I believed in and the only reason I'm staying, he's now liking things, basically saying that I'm done and it's going to make me look bad with the Raiders. That's where this relationship may have already fractured before that, probably, if Pierce is liking it. But that's definitely the last straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah, no, there was obviously an issue there. And I think Antonio Pierce, as well as he did in the interim and deserving of the job of getting it, he's learning on the job.
Because
he's made a few missteps that you got to remember. And I know he wants to bring that hard-nosed player mentality. Mm-hmm. You're not a player anymore. You're the head coach. So there are differences. And
let me tell you this.
No, that's fine.
As a fan, I loved it.
No, I can, because he didn't call out an individual mm-hmm. player.
Fair.
So that's fine.
Toeing the line.
Talking about other players like Tua and whether or not he should retire, that stuff you can't
do. Usually don't hear that from an opposing
coach. Those are things you can't do as a head coach. This you cannot do as a head coach. Don't use social media in any way to call out a player on your... Do those things face-to-face. Mm-hmm. You're the face of the franchise. You're the head man. You got to do that one-on-one. But I do think, for me, if you look at Adams' contract, there was no way he was finishing out the year for the Raiders, in my mind, simply because they have to cut him at the end of the year. So why the hell would you keep him? So this trade has just been delayed because there's no reason for Devontae.
Why didn't they cut him? He had 2 years left in the contract.
He's got 2 years left at $44 million on a cap hit. You're keeping him next year at a $44 million cap hit?
What else are the Raiders going
to
do?
When you can cut him and get out from under and when you only have to pay him $15
million? No, but I'm saying, like, let's say if the Raiders are picking sixth in the draft and they got Shedeur Sanders.
Zach, you're going to have $44 million on a cap hit for Davante Adams for the next 2 years?
He's a great receiver.
There is no way you can justify that type of number. There's
but
no
if
way.
You, if you're drafting a quarterback and you're not having to pay the quarterback,
then
big
you
got to
restructure his contract and give him a longer deal. Because there's no way you can give him $44 million. He would take up like 15% of your cap. I can't do that for a wide receiver that's 34 years old.
To punch those numbers.
No.
You either got to figure it out like Howie Roseman figured it out.
You
got
to redo it. But this contract, as written, cannot be. That's not sustainable.
So I will say, I thought he was going to get through this year with the Raiders and get traded in the offseason. Now that this is already out there, it's just a matter of when it's happening before the deadline. And I would say the Jets are the leader, but I've thrown out two other teams. I thought the Packers, they still need number one wide receiver, and if I'm him, I would rather go back to Green Bay than go to the Jets, and here's why. Aaron Rodgers could only play for another year or two, and then you're in the same situation that you're in with the Raiders now, where you thought you were getting your guy, and then your guy's no longer there.
That's
and not, Love is the youngster.
That's a great thought for Adams. That's not a Packers move. that's not their style. Yeah. That's not the way they're going to go
John
about
Kuhn
it.
John Kuhn said the same thing in August.
I'd be stunned if they go backwards. There's a reason why they moved on from Davante Adams, and I don't think they're going to go backwards.
Well, the reason why they moved on from Davante Adams, I think, is this. They spent all their time trying to basically massage Aaron Rodgers and figure out that contract. Even though he left money on the table leaving Green Bay, his feelings were hurt. He's like, guys, I want to stay here. Get the deal done. And they were like, oh, we got to do this with Aaron. We got to do that with Aaron. We got to do this, Aaron, and that with Aaron.
Whatever way you want to slice it out, the Packers are not going back and spending that kind of money on a receiver. They're just not going to do it. I'd be stunned if that
and
was the case.
The last team that I just gave. Now, you're going to say I'm crazy at first, but this team should be willing to overpay because they're in the penthouse. The Chiefs. I know it's in division, but let's say, like, I don't know what the return's going to be, but doesn't Kansas City at least have to call up and say, hey, we'll give you a first-round pick? It's going to be the 29th, 30th, 31st, 32nd overall pick.
Maybe I'm overly naive. I'd be stunned if it took that much to get Davante Adams.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I would be shocked.
The Chiefs are going to have to overpay for him. In division, the standard. You don't want your division rival winning another Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean,
making it easier.
Look, you're the Raiders. You have to pause and you have to get overwhelmed by the Chiefs because you don't want to make that deal. But at the same time, you got to worry about you. And if this makes your franchise better,
which it would,
you can't compete with the Chiefs anyway. You got to figure out a way to do that. If this does that, then fine. The Chiefs got to make the call. But I don't see them overpaying. It's not a bad idea for them. It would give them a weapon that, let's be fair, they need because they're doing it right now and they're not going to continue to do it with a bunch of guys that Patrick Mahomes can make up for so much. At some point, you're going to need to give them a little bit of help. I would be surprised if they went down that road. And I don't know their cap situation, but I'd be surprised if they went down that road. And if you're the Chiefs, do you really, to try to get the three-peat, is it worth giving up a one or a two?
Oh, absolutely.
No. Without a guarantee that you're actually going to get there because you're still beat up and you still have other issues.
Sure.
Your record isn't showing it, but there's obviously warts that are growing.
We said the same thing last year. They're vulnerable and they played like crap on offense in the AFC Championship game and they still got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And won it.
Look, it's not a bad that's a risk reward. It's not a bad thing. I would be a little hesitant.
And by the way,
Kansas City.
It was a first round pick and a second round pick a few years ago when that trade was made. That's what the Raiders ended up giving up for to the Green Bay Packers for Davante Adams.
Again.
Which it's totally different price now.
Yes.
They're not the only team that I think has to give up a first round pick for Davante Adams would be the Chiefs.
Again, this is can you absorb the whatever $20 million hit or whatever it's going to wind up being for the year? Because again,
25 right going into the year was 25.
So was it 20
year,
now? Next year's gone. This contract,
44 and 44.
In my mind, is untenable for anybody. You either have to restructure and you're going to keep them or you're going to cut them.
Which they will because the dead cap is significantly lower and we know how wide receivers are getting paid out the wazoo right now with the money anyway. So you're going to have to pay him more.
And
you can move those numbers around.
Right. So you're either restructuring or you're cutting them. You're not doing so. To me, the return for the Raiders is not as significant because you can't offer me anything. Like you're not going to keep them. And I can't keep him on this contract that he's on, so I'm not giving you a whole lot because I got to redo everything. So the Raiders are not in a great position to negotiate. It's basically, what are you going to give me so that I don't have to deal with this headache anymore? And that's not a good spot. But they're going to have to move on from him. Whatever they get is better than nothing, and I think it's going to be closer to that third, fourth round area.
You will hear from Davante Adams coming up at 5:20 p.m. Eastern time. We'll play you some audio when he was on an appearance today with Up and Adams with Kay Adams. He had the Adams to Adams connection. We'll get to that later on in the show. When we come on back, we'll do a little overreaction, proper reaction on this Tuesday. But first up with the latest Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash, El Capitan, Marco Belletti.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team.
Help! 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 Help!
Which takes are truly crazy?
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All righty, overreaction, proper reaction time. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Manny Rodriguez, overreaction, proper reaction time. What do you got for me?
My New York football Giants, Zach.
You're still claiming them? You're not embarrassed? You're not rooting for the Bills?
It's been 10 years of embarrassment. The Giants fell to 1-3 after their Thursday night loss to the Cowboys. And Daniel Jones, well, he currently sits 24th in QB rating with just 4 touchdowns and 3 picks. Now, the Giants are bringing in C.J. Beathard for workouts despite already having Tommy DeVito and Drew Locke in the QB room. Overreaction, proper reaction. Daniel Jones will get benched at some point this season.
I think my answer is going to surprise some people. I actually think this is an overreaction. And here's why. The Giants walked into this season knowing they no longer believed in Daniel Jones, but they wanted to give him one last chance. He's not the guy. But what's the point of going to Drew Locke if you bring in C.J. Beathard or Tommy DeVito? None of those guys are your guy. So let's just see what Jones does from the start to the finish. And then you make your decision, which you know it's 100% that he's already not coming back. The only way I think the Giants sit him down is if he gets hurt. That's the only way. But I don't think the Giants are going to say, yeah, we need to go see Drew Locke. He stinks. Tommy DeVito, he was actually okay for them, but they wanted to go back to Danny Dimes. So Daniel Jones will get benched at some point this season. I actually think it's an overreaction. You disagree with that? I'm assuming you do.
I'm really on the fence, dude. I really have no idea.
He's not good.
He's not. None of the options that they have are good.
Like, he played fine, but then when he needed to step up and go win a game, overthrow, overthrow, overthrow.
Or underthrow, underthrow, underthrow
as
well. Yeah,
actually. Yeah, that's overthrow and underthrow. Whenever there was a big throw, he just couldn't hit
it. Just inaccurate.
Yeah.
Shall we move on?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, the Tennessee Titans, well, they started out 0-3 with Will Levis under center, former Penn State quarterback.
Mayo boy.
But they won their first game last night after Levis was injured in the first quarter, fell on his right shoulder. Backup Mason Rudolph, he took over. He didn't do much. 85 passing yards, and Coach Brian Callahan says they're sticking with Will Levis once he's healthy.
Will's healthy. He's our quarterback. It was not a decision based on anything other than his health and protecting him, particularly with the bye week and the shoulder that didn't feel great. I didn't want to put him back out there, and I knew I was going to run the ball quite a bit. So that was really what it factored. But he's our starter when he's healthy, and we're ready to roll with him.
Overreaction, proper reaction. The Titans should move on from Will Levis before the end of the season.
I'm laughing if you're watching me on the YouTube stream during that cut because he knows what the perception is about the relationship he has, the lack of it with Will Levis, how much Brian Callahan has already chewed out Will Levis on the football field. So he felt like he needed to go out of his way to say, oh, no, when he's healthy, he's going to be our guy. That was not a benching because of a play last night. When you asked me, should the Titans move on from Levis before the end of the season, I think that is an overreaction, and here's why. Because you set up this season to see if he could sink or if he could swim. You put enough around him where he should at least be able to show signs that he could be the guy. I think you give him this entire season, and even though Mason Rudolph has been fine as an NFL quarterback, I don't need to see Mason Rudolph. You know he's not the answer. So I would continue to rock and roll with Will Levis for the rest of the season. Next one.
The Seahawks lost their first game of the year, and it wasn't the offense's fault. Geno Smith and the Seahawks offense, they had 38 first downs. That's the most in NFL history for a losing team.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. The Seahawks are 5th in the NFL in total yards per game and 10th in points. Overreaction, proper reaction. Geno Smith, top 15 QB in the NFL.
Do my Patriots and your Giants combined even have 38 first downs in the season?
Probably not.
I think that's a proper reaction. Geno Smith is a top 15 quarterback in the NFL. I wouldn't put him in the top 10, but I think he's like anywhere in that 12 to 15 conversation. Like the best he could be is 12. And right now he's playing like a top 15 quarterback. So I would say that is a proper reaction. And guess what? You folks wrote him off and he didn't write back.
The Cowboys, they are 2-2. How about them? But there are clearly problems in Big D, both on offense, defense, and, well, on the sidelines as well. Now Jerry's team learned they're going to be without star defensive lineman DeMarcus Lawrence for 6 to 8 weeks, and Micah Parsons will likely miss just the second game of his young career with an ankle injury. Overreaction, proper reaction. At this point, you would be more surprised if the Cowboys made the playoffs than missed it.
You really asking me this question? You sure?
I think so.
How do you think I'm going to answer this question?
Well, we did mention the Commanders earlier.
I'm just saying, how do you think I'm going to answer this question?
This would be more surprised. That would be a proper reaction.
You'd be correct. Say it with me, Benny. How about them Cowboys? Good job, Manny Rodriguez. Good job. You thought that was a trick question there for a second. I'm like, hey, this is not a stupid, you know, it's not a stupid question I'm asking. It's pretty easy. It's pretty obvious. Don't give me a stupid answer. I said going into this year, and Santa looked at me like I had 15 heads. And I gave a take, and I said the Cowboys are going to miss the playoffs. And I got a lot of heat from that here. I was leaving the studio. People ready to jump me and harass me. But this team got worse this past offseason. And now I'm supposed to think they're going to make the playoffs based off what? I'm trying to have Zeke Elliott, like he's still the number one running back in this league. What are we doing? So yeah, I would be more surprised if the Cowboys made the playoffs than missed it, because I predicted them not to make the playoffs before the season started. So yes, that is a proper reaction. How about that proper reaction? What do we got?
No surprise, but Derrick Henry, you've ever heard of him?
He leads He's pretty good.
Yeah, he leads the NFL in rushing with 489 yards.
Would you ever want to try to tackle Derrick Henry? Like, how much money would I have to pay you for you to try to tackle Derrick Henry?
Like a 7-year-old version of Derrick Henry?
No.
Present day Derrick Henry?
Present day, no pads too.
No pads?
You guys are just lining up?
Oh, God. Like Oklahoma drills?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But he's running into you.
He's running into me. You'd have to easily start in the conversation at a million.
Million?
That's a big dude, and I'm a small dude.
I thought it would be like $50 for you.
Now, well, anyway, he leads the NFL in rushing yards at 489. He is on pace to eclipse the 2,000-yard mark for the second time in his career. At the same time, a bigger surprise is that Texans Nico Collins, he leads the league in receiving yards and is also on pace to surpass 2,000 yards. Overreaction, proper reaction. We will get a 2,000-yard receiver before we get another 2,000-yard rusher.
1,000% proper reaction. How much they throw the ball these days? Yeah, I think it's more likely that you get a 2,000-yard wide receiver before another 2,000-yard rusher. Just the way that they throw the football in the league now and how crazy it is and off the charts. That's why I think it's more likely in the receiving end than it is running the football. All righty. That shall do it for Overreaction, Proper Reaction today. We will take a timeout. We got one more hour to play, 60 minutes to go. When we come on back, Manny mentioned the Seattle Seahawks and that offensive game between the Seahawks and the Lions. When we return, we look and examine the Lions Super Bowl quest. The Detroit Tigers up 3-0 in the top of the eighth in a playoff game. No one thought that was ever going to happen, them being there in the first place. And now, Lions fans, you may have a lot of good sports teams on your plate because we're talking Lions Super Bowl next.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.